And the Oscar goes to Bosef Gordon-Levitt. Bo, my goodness, with another home run to help them win a game. He's on a roll. They're on a roll. He's the hottest player in baseball, and they might be the hottest team in the American League. But where will that land them in the playoffs? We will discuss and more coming up on Locked On Blue Jays.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, Stitcher, Podbean, YouTube, Twitter, and our
probably
email.
Earwolf. I bet you were on Earwolf.
Okay. Locked On Blue Jays Real at gmail.com. That's R-E-A-L. You can find us wherever you're getting your podcasts. He's Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Shulman. And the Blue Jays are winners again. They win 3-2 in the series opener versus the Rays. Admittedly, it didn't look great at the start. They committed an error that allowed them to lose the lead. But all three runs come in because of the bat of Bo Bichette with the RBI knock in the fourth inning and then the go-ahead home run in the eighth inning. And you know Jordan Romano's got that S up. Pretty crazy. I don't even know. Like, it's every game he continues to do this. I don't get how Bo can't stop right now.
Dude, he's a menace. He's an absolute menace, and they need him to be right now. I mean, he is the offense, which is, like, fine, but they will need somebody else to help him. Although, Vladdy, 100th double of his career. So
yeah.
So that was cool.
Good to see Vlad step up. Because you're right. Totally. It's a little bit too much of, like, a one-man show right now. But it's okay. They're figuring it out. Because Bo has just been so good. Like, since August 21st, 21 games, he's hitting .424, 7 home runs, 18 extra base hits in those 21 games with 23 RBIs and a 1296 OPS. I mean,
yeah, that's insane.
It's MVP level numbers.
crazy.
On the season, he now has an .804 OPS.
Dude, that's
he
had wild.
126 OPS plus. If he bumps that up another point, even though I don't really usually count his first 2 years, then he's going to have the second highest OPS plus of his career, the only one higher being that 46-game stretch that he came up in late 2019 and was just, like, unconscious. I mean, the guy is fantastic. And if you're still out there worried about his defense, this quote might maybe look stupid in the future, but I really think you're not looking at the big picture, because he's phenomenal and he's carrying them. And they're not last in the wild card anymore, which is cool. They were there for a while.
Huge. Yeah, that's massive.
We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Another good start from Berríos too. Which is, I know we had talked about the fourth starter a little bit. I do think it's partly the money, but I also think this is part of the reason that they're banking on Berríos as the fourth starter is, while his bad is bad, his good is still pretty good.
Totally. And his last couple starts, this start and the last start were both solid. I mean, his strikeout numbers weren't exactly there, but, like, if he gets through 6 1/3, one run, like, I don't care, one earned. This game and the Baltimore game on the fifth, like, he was fantastic in both. So I'll take it. I don't really care if he strikes out 2 or 12, as long as he gets through 6-2 earned, one earned, like, that's totally fine with me. And that's worth the money, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he did that three or four times in a 5-start stretch and the other two weren't huge blowups, he'd have an ERA around 3, but the other ones just happen to be 8-run blowups usually. So, yeah. But the ERA, I looked yesterday at one point, was at like 5.7 something. And now it's at 5.07. Call me crazy, but I do think it would be big if he could finish the year. Even like it's not, I mean, it's not going to get Cy Young votes, but even with an ERA that starts with four, you know, it just feels better to me than five. Four feels and like yeah. major league starter, at least.
His last five starts, he's got 30 and two thirds pitched, under a three ERA. He's got a 2.93. The dude, he seems to be tunnel visioning to the playoffs, and that's fine with me if he just kind of bears down and gets his job done now rather than never. So, Jose, it's fine by me, buddy.
Yeah, frankly, his two playoff starts, I believe he has two, are about as much playoff start experience as anyone in the rotation, because Gausman wasn't making it all the time, and nor was he in the rotation for all those teams. And Stripling, I believe we went over it before, had maybe started one game in the playoffs, or may have never actually started, I think, but has pitched in the bullpen. And obviously Manoah has not started a playoff game. So yeah, it's nice to see that kind of clicking together at the right time. And if for nothing else, maybe building some momentum toward next season, cause there's still six more years of Jose Berríos, hopefully wearing blue and white. You mentioned it was kind of just Vlad and Bo. Was Bo your hype train?
Hype train. He's my hype train. How could he not be? The dude's hotter than hot.
So outside of Vladdy and Bo, they picked up two. The team had two hits total. For the doubleheader today, they're obviously going to need more. Who are you looking toward to step up?
I'd like to see Chapman return to what he did, where he was red hot, and he raised his OPS toward 800 a little bit. He's definitely fallen off a bit since then, back to what his early to mid-year numbers were, and like on the season, I think his numbers are totally fine, and like when it's all said and done this year, you're going to look back and say he was definitely worth acquiring, because great defense at third. He's hit nearly 30 home runs. He's been a really good part of the order, but you kind of need him to step up. He's got to be an X factor in your lineup if you are going to go far this season. I mean, Teoscar, we've talked about being the guy that is the game changer in the lineup, and I still think that can be true, but I think Chapman can qualify for that as well. But he hasn't really been as good in the month of September. He's only got 9 hits in 11 games. Hasn't hit a home run in September. He hasn't hit a home run since mid-August, August 20th, yeah, against the Yankees. So Chapman, I'd like to see definitely pull it back a little bit, because his numbers have dipped down to his OPS hit 800 on August 13th. I think it hit 800 in late July, early August as well, but like definitely dipped down since then.
Yeah, it's at 772. I mean, like you said, his overall numbers are pretty good. He has a 118 OPS plus. Last year he was an even 100. Like, that's obviously an improvement, but at the same time, we're not really working off of last year at this point. Now it's like we just need go time. So hopefully, you know, he doesn't have to be like, he also got hot and was like the greatest hitter in America, not for as long as Bo, but for a week. He just has to get like a little hot. I think I agree with you. Like, throw a couple doubles and maybe hit a homer in the last four games of this series, and yeah, change a game with your power. But that's a big, we talked about it. Game one was going to be huge in this series. Obviously today is the biggest day now with the doubleheader, but it's big to get one under your belt, because knock on wood, you know, worst case scenario, you were to get swept in the doubleheader, you could still win the series because you won game one. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, but we are going to take a quick step aside and come back and talk to you about some other stuff. But right now, Bones has to tell you about bets.
BetOnline.net. That's what we're talking about. It's the number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games and those afterwards. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball, mixed martial arts, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts.
The playoff race. The playoff race.
Playoff race. Very exciting. Like you mentioned, Jays no longer last in that wild card race, though it is close. They're just separated by Tampa by half a game, and they have four more games against Tampa, so this could look way different by the time this series is over. But currently, it's Seattle and Toronto tied at the top of the wild card, and then Tampa Bay half a game back. Like I said, Baltimore slipping 5.5 games back at Tampa Bay, and then 7 games back at Chicago. Although Chicago and Minnesota both still have a chance because the AL Central is so bad. Chicago just 3 games out of the lead in the AL Central, Minnesota 5. So they do have a chance. It's getting late, and they're going to have to make a push now, but they do still have a chance technically. Although I do think that the wild card is nearly wrapped up. I don't think we're going to see huge changes there. So the dream of Baltimore beating out Tampa Bay or something is over almost.
Yeah, I think Baltimore can now go into like, we had a nice year mode.
Yeah, they really did though.
They did, and good for them, but it wasn't going to happen. I mean, the only thing, because I'm going to knock on wood here, is that there are 6 more games against the Jays and they do play the Rays, but they would have to go on quite a tear. Against the
owners. And we know they can.
Yeah, we know they can.
But Bo also is just mashing them recently, so like, come at them. But anyway, we want to talk about who would you like to see in the playoffs. This year's playoff has 3 wild card teams instead of 2, and they're not playing just one game. Do you like that, by the way? We haven't really talked about that. Are you a fan of the new playoff format?
I'm a little bit of an old man. Like, I enjoyed the wild card game. The one
so did
game
I. Playoff.
I really did like that. I'm okay with what it is now. I'm not excited about the prospect of a 7th team potentially making the playoffs, which was also thrown out there during CBA, and I don't really know the status of it right now. CBA negotiations, I meant, but I don't mind it. I mean, the Blue Jays have needed it. Like, they would have been on the outside looking at, we would still be very, very unsure if the Blue Jays are a playoff team if there weren't 6 teams. You know, there would be quite the race. So I'm okay with it because there seems to be good enough teams. You know, like, the worst team right now in the wild card is the Rays, and on the NL side, it's the Padres. So at least those are good teams. You know, I feel okay about the teams qualifying, but if it got one deeper, you never know.
I guess I'm not huge about them kind of adopting the NFL format in a way, in that now you also have a division winner who's lumped in with the wild cards. So like, whoever's the worst division winner is now like basically a wild card team. Like, it is a wild card team.
Yeah.
Because you're in the exact same position as a wild card team.
You're in the wild card round.
Right now, if the playoffs started today, the Guardians would play the Rays in the wild card round, and the Mariners would play the Jays, which I don't know if I mean, we could talk about what things we like, but I'm not cool about you don't get to the DS if you're a division winner.
Yeah, they've lessened with every team they add, in a way they do lessen the importance of being a division winner. Because not only do more non-division winners make it, but like you said, I mean, it's good for the East because, you know, we'll sit here and complain. You know, last year the Blue Jays won 91 games, better than a heck of a lot of teams, but other teams are making the playoffs. So it's leveling out the playoff field, at least for a really loaded East. But you never know when that's going to bite you as well. You know, if you know, 10 years from now, all of a sudden the White Sox and the Kansas City Royals are powerhouses, then, you know, you could be sitting there as a division winner having to play a 2 out of 3 series too. So, yeah, it is definitely interesting. I do usually like about baseball how much the divisions matter, which I guess in a way for football is still the same, that people feel the division matters, but being a division winner isn't always like what it is, you know, in terms of baseball a couple years ago. So yeah, it would be frustrating, I think, if I was a Guardians fan to think, you know, we're battling it out for this division and then we're going to go have to play in the first round while the other two division winners get a bye.
Yeah. Which, if like, they, I don't know. I guess they're trying to make it more appealing and more teams make it, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I liked it the way it was. I thought having two wild card teams was good, but whatever. Okay, let's talk about who we want to see. I think we kind of talked about this pre-pod a little bit to show some inside baseball, but the first team that I think you have to think about is Cleveland, just because they have the worst record out of any team that you could be facing here. But like we both said, is they have that crazy pitching staff that in a three-game series, I don't know if I want to see. I don't know if I want to go out there and see Bieber and Quantrill and Tristan McKenzie. Like that's a really, really good 1-2-3 they can throw at you. And in any given three games, you could be shut down. And even if they lose one, you still have to face a dog. But on the other side, I think you could argue the Jays have something similar in Manoa, Gausman, and Stripling, who have all had incredible years, exactly what the Jays have needed. I think Manoa would probably be the game one starter. I think that's who I want on the mound game one, just because that dude has more heart in him than I think anybody on the team. And that's what I want in a starting pitcher in the playoffs. So I think pitching, honestly, maybe Cleveland has the edge probably, just because I think Stripling's fantastic, but if anybody's going to implode of those six people, I think it probably is him. Even though I think he's great and that's not a slight to him at all. I just think he's the less of the best pitchers. And then you have the Mariners, who I think might be my answer here. They're red hot and they're talented, but they are a little thin. And I don't know if I'm so scared of their offense. Luis Castillo is really good, and their pitching staff isn't terrible at all. But Ty France, J-Rod, and Eugenio Suarez, and then, like, what else am I scared of? Mitch? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, Haniger hasn't been healthy enough, probably. Worth noting, too. I mean, keep going through the teams, and then I'll let you.
Okay, and then you have Tampa Bay, which I do not want to see. I would not want to see Tampa Bay at all. You kind of are seeing. We didn't even talk about the hit by pitch, or did we? I can't remember.
We didn't. It wasn't on purpose. I want to be
clear. No, but it was scary, and like Schneider was barking at their dugout, and
which I like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all in on that. But the point is that there's animosity there and that the Rays are a really hard team to beat and that they'll do anything to win. Not saying they did anything dirty. I'm just saying they are a gritty team and they're really, really good. So Tampa Bay is just not a team I want to see in the playoffs. It's like certainly one of those teams you hope somebody else beats.
They're proven winners. Of the three options, you know, whether the Blue Jays would play them home or away, Tampa, I don't want to face. They've won too much. They have too much playoff experience. They're not the team. So like you, I go between Seattle and Cleveland. Cleveland
also,
what's up?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say Cleveland, you certainly play on the road. So that's an interesting wrinkle to it too. Not that like Progressive Field is the wildest environment, but playing at home is obviously better. These series don't shift, and whoever is the top seed, all the games are at their ballpark, which is an interesting part of it. So it's Cleveland for me. Like if it's between Cleveland on the road and Seattle on the road, I don't know. If it's Seattle at home, I probably would take Seattle at home.
Is that Seattle on the road's a home game.
Yes, but not entirely. Like Seattle at home is a home game.
Yeah, true.
The playoffs, I would imagine the playoffs, they will try and make
sure. They're going to try and make sure their fans are there. But if you don't think Blue Jays will be there, if Blue Jays fans will be there, if the Jays are in the playoffs in Seattle, they'll be there.
They'll be there. It's worth noting.
I think that's a way better road game.
it's worth noting that Robbie Ray did not travel to Toronto when Seattle came to the Rogers Center in like June.
I wonder.
Don't know what the status of that is.
I was just going to say, I wonder if, I mean, that's going to be, there's going to be conversation about that around playoff time, about guys just like, you're really going to miss the playoffs for this?
The rules, yeah, the rules aren't going to change, obviously. Like,
come on, man. You know, you're really going to miss the playoffs for that?
Someone's going to go out there and say, well, they got to put an exemption in for the playoffs. And look, I'm not a political guy and I'm not going to get into that, but I would
assume not a politics podcast.
That a government would feel strong enough about a law that the Major League Baseball playoffs would probably not change their opinion on it. Yeah, so that, I mean, that's the, it's the one variable, I think, to the home games to a certain extent is who's coming, you know, and for Seattle, there is clearly a big loss if Robbie Ray doesn't come again.
Yeah, because what is outside of there? I mean, Gilbert is really good.
They'll go
Flexen
Gilbert.
Flexen's fine. Theo. Kirby's been great. Like, honestly,
they've been using Flexen out of the pen, though. Flexen's
that's
a pen,
true.
A pen
last
guy,
six yeah. appearances. But still, I mean, their starters are great. Kirby, Gonzalez, Gilbert, and Ray all have fantastic numbers this season, and they have a really good rotation that I frankly is a scary one. Probably not as much as Cleveland is, but still, yeah. I mean, they're a really good team. And sometimes, you know, they're a really young team in some parts, like Logan Gilbert's a really young guy. They do have like some good veteran leadership, but George Kirby's a young guy. And sometimes those kind of things fuel teams in the playoffs, and you just see young kids like J-Rod go out there and like maybe he'll just have a crazy playoff, but I guess we'll see. But I think Seattle's still my answer.
Yeah, I was going to say the young thing in a way kind of pushes me towards Seattle because I know there are those stories of the young guys that go out there and dominate. I also watched in 2020 the incredibly young Blue Jays. I mean, like a 21-year-old Vlad and a 22-year-old Bo and stuff. They went out there and they were not great, frankly. It was against the Rays, who were a better team. But like a lot of the time, these young guys aren't ready for that environment. And, you know,
I think you're right, but I think they have a good mix.
J-Rod or J-Ram. J-Ram scares me a lot more. J-Ram's made a World Series, you know.
He has. He definitely, you're right about that.
And Terry Francona or Scott Service. Terry's going to come out there and do something. No offense to Scott, but Terry Francona is a for sure Hall of Famer.
He is. I don't know. I guess I just – I don't – it's tough. I don't know. I think you're right about the – I don't know. It's really close for me. I just like facing Bieber, then Sticks, then Quantrill, like – oh my gosh, like I do
tough.
Not want to
I don't want to do that.
Like I don't want to see that at all. No. But I guess some teams are thinking about that, like about the Jays. So all right, anyway, we gotta move on.
We both locked in Seattle? We should get a final answer. I'm gonna say Seattle. And preferably at home. If it's on the road for me, it's a little bit of a
I'm gonna say Seattle as well. I'm gonna go Seattle.
All right. Shoot the ads at the people.
Ads now. Pew. Okay. I forgot what we're talking about last.
I got it anyway.
Okay,
don't worry.
Go ahead.
All right. We went a little overtime anyway, so we'll go on this one quickly. Doubleheader coming up today, obviously. Game two is the big one because game one, we already got the starter locked in. That's the big dog, Alek Manoah, coming up very soon. So hopefully this is some of your pregame listening. But game two, from the reporting I've seen, specifically Ben Nicholson-Smith, of sports writer at the Letters podcast host. Mitch White is up because they can activate the extra guy for the doubleheader. Not guaranteed though that he's a starter or what he's going for. So what I'm going to ask you to do is build your ideal first five innings. How many innings to Mitch White? Because I assume if he's up, he's going to pitch at least a bit. And how many innings to others? And who do you want? And I can go first if you want a second to think.
I can go first. You start Mitch White. He goes zero innings. You don't put him in at all. You actually throw Trevor Richards out there instead, and you do a bullpen game. That's my plan.
So you can do a bullpen game, but I think Mitch White is still going to be involved.
Pain. You'd throw Mitch White for like three innings. And then I want to see David. I want to see Phelpsy out there. I do want to see Trevor Richards out there. Although they don't like to throw both those guys in the same game. So
yeah, but with the extra guy, maybe they could. They didn't have to use so much Penn yesterday because Barrios went deep.
I'm actually incredibly curious as to what their strategy going into these games every time is, just because they have so much failure every time Mitch White touches the rubber. Like, I don't know what Schneider could be thinking, like, oh my God, like, we got to get 11 runs today. Like, there's just no way around it.
I think he's thinking we got to win game one.
Like, I think you're going to see like six guys on the mound. I wonder, do they call Merriweather up?
Merriweather is 60 up.
Day? Okay, I wonder if they throw him, because if he's on the roster, like, he's not going to be a late guy.
Yeah.
So, like, he could definitely be a bullpen day kind of guy, just because he's one of the lesser trusted arms on the team, I think, just because he's so erratic. Like, every time we've seen him play, it's like, all right, he throws 150, but he has no idea where the ball's going.
Yeah.
So I think you maybe see him for an inning. You see a lot of guys for one inning. It's that kind of thing. And then late game is whatever late game calls for. So, like, maybe you get a Jimmy to Romano. Maybe you get a Bass to Jimmy to Romano. But I do want to see, like, White, Richards, Phelps to start it, I think. And then maybe Meza.
Yeah, so I was thinking pretty much the same line as you. I was thinking, like, Richards for the first inning. Maybe a little more, then White covers it until the end of the fourth, and then the fifth inning goes to Phelps. That's what I hope. But I could see Merriweather for sure being swapped in as the fifth inning guy. Like you mentioned, they haven't really used Richards and Phelps both, which I kind of get. Like, you still might want a length guy potentially in your pen. And although those guys have been one inning guys, they've also been length guys. But yeah, at this point, I think they're just trying to piece together whatever till the end of the year. They only have there are a couple more off days, so they can make it so there's only a couple more of these types of starts. But I would say if they have a lead in game one and it's going well, they're going to sell out the top end of the bullpen, I believe, and make sure they win game one so that if they happen to lose game two, it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right about that. Because you can't go into a five-game series thinking, all right, well, we need these five games. Like, statistically, I mean, it's baseball. If you won five games right here, you would be on the hot streak of a century going into the playoffs, which would be awesome. But I don't think it happens. So I think you're right about that.
Yeah. Five-game sweep is a lot to ask for. Four games would be huge still. Like, absolutely huge. So we'll see what happens. A doubleheader today, so lots of baseball for you guys and us to watch, and we appreciate you making us your first listen before it. Now, if you want to check out the playoff race info, make your second listen Locked On MLB, where MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and a unique perspective to the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back with a doubleheader recap tomorrow. But until then, peace.